Pull up a chair. You're invited to this table. And today we're going to have conversation about faith and friendship. And again, we're going to feast on the word, continuing with our theme verse of taste and see that the Lord is good. Only this episode, we are going to do a deep dive on Psalm 34.
Well, Athena, it's so good to be here at the table with you. And as we welcome in anyone who wants to come and be part of this conversation, just how's life going in Washington?
Well, we are recording this in the month of March, and March is a busy birthday month. We had three generations of birthdays on the same day on March 4th. My husband was 76, his son was 44, and grandson was 27, I think.
That's crazy. All three on the same day.
All three on the same day, totally. Wow. And so that's always a big bash when it's celebrating the three generations, the three Holtz generations. And, you know, I am not a super sci-fi kind of person or fan. I'm not a, I mean, I don't think I saw, but maybe one Star Wars, and just not my thing. And they all wanted to go see Dune on the big screen with the, you know, lounge chairs where you get to put your feet up and the whole nine yards. And, you know, I, about halfway through, I was like, I just can't take this in. It was just so much evil that I had to just, gotta go to the bathroom and walked out and sat on a little bench and ate some popcorn and just, I just had to decompress because it was just like so dark. And I don't like taking that into my, in my eyes, in my heart, in my ears. I don't like any of it.
I've done that several times when I've gone to movies. I haven't gone to a movie since I don't even know when. But when I used to, and just what's on the screen, I was like, why would I want to put this into my, like, remembrance, right? Into my memory. Yeah. And just not good stuff. So walking out is always the best way to solve that.
Absolutely. So, you know, we have one more birthday this month and it's mine. So I'm going to redeem it by not going to a movie.
There you go. That'll be fun. Oh, very gosh. Good. So as we do this deep dive into Psalm 34, let's, you know, take a minute and get the backstory to what's happening in David's life. I think the beautiful part of David's story is that you not only get the narrative of what's happening, but you also get to experience what he is feeling in his soul, which you don't really get in very many characters in scripture. So the Psalms actually does that for us.
Yes, he does not hold back. He tells us how he really feels. And right. I love that.
And it makes him so much more human as well.
Yeah, totally.
So this particular psalm happens. David is running from Saul. He is being, you know, chased down. Saul wants to kill him. And so David does something very bizarre. He goes to the Philistines. So the Philistines, if you don't know, are the people that David killed Goliath, and they killed most, you know, much of their army. And so David is basically running from the enemy Saul into the enemy camp. And the people there are like, what is David doing here? And so they decide to kill him. And so David then begins to act like a crazy person. And they're like, we don't want a crazy person here. And there's a lot of reasons why, if you do a deep dive into kind of people that are insane or had that kind of mental capability in scripture and what they would do to them. And so they let him go and he escapes back to, and if you go to chapter 22 of Samuel, 1 Samuel, we find out that he ends up at the cave of Adullam. And there we are told that there are the people heard that David was there. And so they all came to the cave to be with him. And there was about 400 people and he became their commander. And so that is where I believe, as we look at the narrative of David's life, and this psalm actually does tell us, like, this happened after he escaped the king of Gath. So we know that that is a fact. The psalm, you know, what he says here takes place.
Yeah. Sweet. So I am going to start with verses 1-3, and I'm going to read out of the NASB. So Psalm 34, starting in verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I mean, that just right there is so rich that when we magnify the Lord instead of our problems, I mean, I was thinking about that this morning and like, well, what are you doing when you magnify? I thought about a magnifying glass. It makes whatever it's in front of big and large and larger than life. And boy, that's what I want to do, is magnify him, not my problems and not the enemy and not all the frustrations. You probably have some more depth into it, but
yeah, well, I mean, just thinking of where David is, he's just gotten back from being with a crazy or almost getting killed. And even within that distress, and still Saul is after him, he still brings the people to a point of praise, mm-hmm. and always back to let's worship. Because when we have our eyes on God instead of our problems, we have a completely different outlook. And I love in this part where he starts, and he starts by speaking, I will bless the Lord. His praise is in my mouth. My soul makes boast. But then he switches in verse 3 to the pronoun switches to include everyone. And he even calls them to that. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Mm. Let us exalt his name. And so he's saying, because all these people are in desperate situations. In fact, in 1 Samuel 22, it tells us like they were, he had a bunch of D words, discontent, they were in distress, and they were in debt. And so all these people are coming to the cave, and David sees them and he says, okay, we've got to get our eyes off of our circumstances and back onto our God. So magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And then he's going to walk them through this whole process of what that looks like and how it looks when things are hard.
Mm. And just what a great example. I mean, he is like the person he used to worship with and, you know, was a brother, is now after him. And look at how he's handling that affliction and that distress.
Yeah. Yeah. He didn't allow his circumstance to have him do anything that was outside of God's will. I think we'll kind of run into that in a little bit in this passage. Mm.
All right. So verses 4-7.
Okay. Hey, so here we go. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant and their faces shall never be ashamed. The poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and he delivers them. Just how he's bringing his experience to them. So he's saying, like, this is what God has done for me. Don't you believe that God can do this for you too? I sought the Lord. And we know he was in the presence of a people, the Philistines, who were about ready to kill him. And so I can just imagine him thinking through, like, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. He knows, and the unknown is still before David. He doesn't know what's going to happen. I mean, he believes that he's going to be king, but he has a crazy man after him.
Right. And when you think about this in verse 7, where the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. So he is a perfect example of someone who fears God. And there are just, I mean, because he should have been dead going into the enemy's camp. He should have, I mean, they see the drool coming out of his mouth. They, you know, he's looking like a crazy person. He should have been dead. He had some angels encamped around him because he feared God.
Mm. Wow. Well, and the fear of God is so important. And it's not fear like I'm afraid of him. It's the fear, the awe, and the reverence. Which brings us then back to what he said at the very beginning. Magnify God with me. Make God big. It's not that God is getting bigger, because God is who he is. But it's our perception of who God is becomes bigger in the midst of our problems. Mm-hmm. And so that's when the awe and the wonder and the fear really do settle in.
And we realize we're little itty bitty, and he is huge and magnificent and amazing. And it just, the perspective really helps keep us understanding who we aren't and who he is.
Right. Well, and I think this next portion of the psalm really helps us determine, like, well, how then do I magnify God? How then do I know God? How do I place my sights on him and recognize who he is? So do you want to read that?
Mm-hmm. Verses 8 through 10. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for to those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. There is just so much there. So the taste and see that, I don't know, how do you like taste and see that the Lord is good? I mean, in a practical way.
Yeah, I mean, through his word. Mm. The only way we really can know God is if we taste his word. It's going to be something that David has experienced. And that's why he's leading them. Like, I sought the Lord. Well, how did he seek him? He's telling them now, taste and see, like, come taste it, taste him for yourself and see that he's good. Cause I know you're having a lot of troubles out there in the cave and the people that have come, but God's going to deliver and he's going to do so many amazing things if you just depend on him. Because it says not only taste and see that the Lord is, or it says taste and see that the Lord is good. That is the essence of who God is. And we'll notice in this next couple sets of verses that good is used so many times, but every time it refers to something different. But it first kind of sets that groundwork of when we taste and see God, we can see and know that he is good. And that is something that never changes.
And that's the character of God, is what we have to remember when things are hard and when things are just like, I don't know how I'm going to get through this alive. I mean, we have all sorts of trials and tribulations and afflictions and sufferings. And if we truly have tasted his word and seen him for who he is, that character of him being good, that does not just fly away easily. That's when we see it even more and we hold on to it even more after we've tasted him, no matter what we're in the middle of.
Yeah. And that's what it even says in verse 10. So when it talks about the young lions suffer, the lions there, anytime a lion is mentioned, a lot, oftentimes it's like the rich people, the strong people, those that have a lot. But if we look what happens, those people who have a lot of wealth, power, it says they are in want and they still hunger. But those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. So tasting and seeing the goodness of the Lord allows us to lack nothing, because we will have every good thing because we know him. Mm.
The different references to good, do we want to just get to those a little bit later when we run into them? Or do you want to?
Yeah, I mean, they're in the next portion. So we have, I can just go through them quickly. you have taste and see the Lord is good. That's his essence. And then in verse 8, we see that good is this object. It's the description of the good thing that we receive. And then we're going to come to find out in verse 12, good is a description of time. And then in verse 14, good is the action of repentance.
Wow. It's interesting that it's on time, because, you know, when we get our eyes off of him and we're in chronic pain or suffering or, you know, something that is really painful to us, it's like the minutes drag on so slowly. I mean, it's excruciating. But if we keep our eyes on him and his goodness and that hope that understanding his character brings, it just changes everything, no matter what, how, what level the pain is at.
Yeah. Wow. You know, Ethie and I think through just how we just, you know, the way that our lives intersect, you and I, is through Redemption Press and just some of the things we've experienced together. And there's been some hard seasons. We had a really hard, you know, fall. And I remember that season seeming so long when we're in the middle of it. But the wonderful thing, and this is what David's doing here, is during that time, like, there would be a day where I was like falling apart and just wanting to give up. And you would be the strong one. Like, come on, remember, we sought the Lord and he answered us and he is good. Taste and see it again. And then the next day you would be falling, you know. And so we help each other, and we, that's why it's so important to come to the table together and talk through these things, so that when we are facing really hard times, we have each other to remind us of God's goodness.
Amen.
Yeah. So let's look at 11 through 14. It says this, David's actually going to give us two lessons we can be listening for. There's a lesson about the fear of the Lord, and then there's a lesson on wisdom. So it says this, come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there who desires and loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And so there we do have those, that instruction that David's giving. And I love that he says, and I don't know if it's exactly this, but he says, come, O children, listen to me. I feel like he's like, maybe the elders are there, the older people in the community, and they're listening to him. And then he's like, no, this is for the kids too. Like, and not kids, maybe like young kids, but the younger ones in the crowd that are coming up the ranks. Come and listen and see. And here's how we kind of walk through this whole life that God is calling us to live, keeping our eyes on him. Mm. And it's fearing the Lord. And then it is being wise, doing God's will. And he gives us those instructions. Keep your tongue from evil. Do good, not evil. And then seek peace. So there's three things that he does there.
Well, actually, I saw another one, I think. The keep your tongue from evil, when I looked up the Hebrew word for that, it was guard. So guard your tongue from evil, because it is easy to just, when you're frustrated, say things that are unkind. And I mean, I don't know, maybe that's not as extreme as evil, but it's, you know, words can hurt. And so for us to keep a guard over our tongue and keep it from evil is such a great step. I mean, it's an action step we need to take. We don't just need to like read this and go, isn't that nice? No, we need to do it. But then the depart from evil. Well, I looked up the depart Hebrew word, and it says to turn away. That's like what I did with that movie. I like turned away. Like, I do not even want to let that go into my eye gates.
Right.
And then depart from evil and do good. The word do in that specific spot means to obey. And so, wow, to guard our tongue, to turn away from evil, and to obey what God is telling us to do. Those are some powerful action steps.
Yeah, that is so good. And it really does, you know, I actually had some questions on verse 12. When I was reading, I was like, verse 12 seems like it's a little bit out of place. Like, why is that there? And then when I recognized that actually verse 12 is telling us what the reward is for those that walk in wisdom and those who fear God, it made a lot more sense to me. What man is there who desires life and loves many days that the Lord may see good, or that he may see good? Just that his life is going to be something he can enjoy. He can have happiness, because when we are obedient, there is a level of happiness that comes to our life. You know, I know we always say like, oh, we want to be holy and not happy, but God does give us things that makes us really happy. I mean, the word blessed in scripture is happy. Happy is the man who does this and who follows God. And so having this happy life where goodness is seen comes from walking in obedience and walking out in the fear of the Lord.
I love that. Okay, so I'm going to go verses 15 through 22. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Wow, I want to be that person that his eyes are on me, and that his ears are like, what's Athena saying right now? I want to hear it. I want to be that person. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. Woo! Even when hard times come, there's a hope there that if we are consistently tasting and seeing that he's good, that hope is going to spring up.
Yeah. And it's inevitable. I mean, we are going to face hard times. And so I love verse 19 because it just gives that realistic picture of many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them.
Yep.
And recognizing that, you know, God knows, I mean, Jesus said in this world, we will have trouble, and we do have trouble everywhere we turn.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of the scripture about, no weapon formed against you will prosper. And that's true, but it doesn't say that the weapon won't be formed. Right. So we're going to have hard times, but he is not going to win.
No, he is not. Such a powerful ending as David really wraps it up here and just reminds them, like, you can cry out to God when you are in these circumstances, because he is near to the brokenhearted. And I think just that phrase alone, that God is near to us, you know, we're the ones that move away
and yep.
press in when things get hard. And I know, you know, everyone responds differently through difficult times. I know so many people who, unfortunately, when tragedy strikes, they walk away and they don't want anything to do with God. I am so thankful that when hard things have come in my life, that is when I press in so much deeper. Yeah. And that is the whole purpose of our trials, is to pull us and to really depend upon him.
Mm. So good. And that's true, that I grow so much more through affliction and suffering than I do from all the good, you know, all the good times. They just don't produce the same thing.
I just don't really want a lot of affliction.
I know. So I just love the way that Psalm 34 ends, and it's like this perfect segue into where we're going to go next in the scripture. So
I know.
Why don't you tell us about that?
I was blown away as I was looking at this as we were studying, because we've been studying, Athena and I have been studying the book of 1 Peter together, and we're going to take a deep dive through the book of 1 Peter in our next episode and following. And this sets up, because 1 Peter, there are three main things that Peter is addressing. He's first saying that we are going to have suffering in this world. 1 Peter 1:6 says, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief of all kinds of troubles. So he's saying we're going to have trouble. So Peter's going to address that. Then he's going to say, so not only are you going to have troubles, but there is an answer to that. And God is going to give us hope. And in 1 Peter 1:3, it says, praise be to the God of the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. So our life in Jesus is going to, even though we have these afflictions, bring us to hope, which in turn will bring us to glory. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what David is saying at the very beginning. Magnify the Lord with me. Give him the glory. And that is where Peter pushes us towards, is everything we go through is to magnify God and to bring him glory.
I love that. I am so excited for us to jump into that and just see what God has for all of us and our listeners. And it's just such an exciting way to move forward after digging deep on Psalm 34.
For sure.
So you are invited. You always have a seat at this table. So come on and pull up a chair. In a world eager for stories that inspire and transform, one name stands at the forefront of proclaiming the faithfulness of God. Redemption Press, proud sponsor of At This Table podcast, is more than just a publisher. We are a family driven by a mission to amplify voices of faith, hope, and truth. With excellence as our heartbeat, we intertwine passion for storytelling with respect for your message, ensuring your vision shines without compromise. Because here, your message is our mission. Join us in our journey to impact lives and expand the kingdom of God through the power of the written word. Your story matters. Let's share it with the world. For more information, click the link in the show notes.